Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael, how you doing, buddy, down there in Dallas?
Pretty good. There was a fair amount of Packer fans there. I tweeted out a couple times where the Go Pack, Go chants were really intense during that game at AT&T Stadium. And, you know, when the game is over with and you saw the impact that Aaron Jones had, and he had come back with 19 carries and 107 yards on the ground, four rushing TDs. But then the seven catches for like 75 yards. You know, you kind of say to yourself, you just wonder if Matt LaFleur said, okay, you know, Aaron Rodgers needs a playmaker. Who's somebody he can trust? You always want to put the ball in, you know, your best guy. And the second best guy on the team is Aaron Jones. And so I asked Matt LaFleur right after the game in his press conference, did he look at Aaron Jones, the running back, as the playmaker to replace Devontae?
Yeah, I know. We always try to put together the best plan as possible. And Aaron tonight, he definitely came up big. I mean, to be able to break, he broke a lot of tackles out there, and he finished runs. And we knew going into this game that we had to be physical. And it starts up front, but I was really proud of our guys. The whole, both offensively, defensively, and on special teams, you know, we had some adversity, fought through a lot of injuries, had guys going in and out of the lineup, and against a really quality football team. I mean, they're a really good team, and it's always tough to go on the road in this league, and especially in this building, and pick up a win. But you know, it was just a great team win.
Mike, I like a lot of the things that the Packers did yesterday, but one of the things that I think is being underrated is the fact that the Packers, defensively speaking, took the Dallas Cowboys out of their game, and that was to run Ezekiel Elliott. And also, I think they abandoned it a little bit earlier as well, but nevertheless, I think the Packers, defensively speaking, got the job done in that sense.
I thought it was weird that Ezekiel Elliott was sitting on the bench there for two or three series in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to the guys from Dallas, they said, no, that's a package that worked for them. That's, you know, then they were trying to get back into the game down 14-0, 17-0. But it's, you know, you just paid this guy all this money. And there was even some comments over from the Cowboys side that maybe they need to do a better job of working Zeke Elliott as a pass receiver as well. Getting back to the Packers running game, I had one of these, I knew it moments over the weekend. And that's when I got a text about 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. I thought all week long, you know, that Ted Thompson started doing a thing about 5 years ago. He might wait up until the 4 o'clock deadline on a Saturday to make a little roster move or two. Cause it just, you know, your opposition, they want to put it to bed. They've looked at the film. They had the last meetings and, you know, they're getting ready to have their team gathering. And now you make a roster move and that, you know, the coaches might have to drag out the tape and take a second or third look at some potential guy. And they did with that with Trey Carson, the running back, who, you know, as the training camp went on in that final game against the Chiefs, he blocked a little bit better. He executed a little bit better. Dexter Williams is a guy that Brian Gutekunst still believes in that's got a twitch when it comes to running the football, but he's a rookie out of Notre Dame. Trey Carson, this is his third year in the NFL. They were able to – I don't think you can do it much anymore, stashing a guy on the practice squad, but they stashed this guy. And they kept Dexter Williams on the roster because they thought someone would pick him up if he was sitting on a practice squad. So they elevate him to the 53-man roster on Saturday afternoon, get rid of Fadal Brown, a defensive tackle who probably missed on too many run tackles in the game against the Eagles. And that was a smart move, man. I mean, he had a couple of good runs, a couple of passes that he caught from dump-off passes from Aaron Rodgers. But he also did really good in pass protection. And then when you're talking about the running game, Brian Bulaga was asked at his locker, you know, when you can push guys around like the Dallas Cowboys with those great linebackers they've got in Van Der Esch and the others, it's got to be, like, good for the soul of the offense, right?
I think so. I mean, I think it's body blows against the defense. especially when they're right up the gut. I mean, I really do. When you're able to just cut teams out of their, you know, D linemen out of their gaps and just go literally straight downhill right next to the center and get 8-9 yards and go into the end zone. I mean, those are body blows. I think it's good. I think it's good for a team. I think it gets the defense excited. I think it gets, obviously, everyone up front excited. It gets the offense fired up. I mean, you're being physical with a team that against a team that prides themselves on being physical. And, it is good for the soul.
I tell you what, it's good for the soul, but also it was good for the soul. Even though the numbers weren't spectacular, I thought this was Aaron Rodgers' best game.
Well, one of the things that I thought that stood out, Bill, was, he's under pressure and it looks like he's going down. And what does he do? He comes off with a left-handed shovel pass to Trey Carson, mm-hmm. the backup running back. Or he's under pressure. It looks like he's going down, and somehow he flips the ball off to second-year man Robert Tonyan at tight end. And that's the Aaron Rodgers of old, who just looks like a Houdini getting out of those situations and still apparently trying to stay within the LaFleur offense. You know, every time that Aaron Rodgers is looking down in the huddle and they got that camera hanging over the Packers huddle and he's looking at his wristband, he's calling those LaFleur plays, to speed the process up. And so I asked Aaron about that after the game.
Do you have a sense that they are better at the scramble? Do you have confidence in them? Or does this offensive scheme help in those instances?
I think it's, I was thinking coming in the game that just based on their athleticism and their ability to cover folks, there's going to be a couple off-schedule plays I just needed to make. One of them was on a screen pass. You know, just kind of moving and throwing. When I threw a left-handed one to Trey. And then obviously Bobby had a nice play on the adjustment. We've done that for a long time around here. It's just, with a really good front, with the crowd noise, and with, them dropping 7 and locking on the guys, you're going to have some off-schedule plays.
And Rodgers had some really strong statements also at his press conference about, I just think this team is playing together more. He recognized that guys like Kevin King went from a groin injury against the Eagles, doubtful Friday morning, to out on the field and getting a pick last night. Brian Bulaga playing with a sore shoulder. Za'Darius Smith, how many times did that guy have to leave the game with leg cramping and still got back up off the bench mm-hmm. and went back in and finished? And so that's a really good feeling about that. And I wanted to talk about Aaron Jones here if we got time in the next.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Aaron Jones when we come back.
Sound good. We'll do that. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens live down in Dallas getting ready to wing his way back. This is the Bill Michaels Show. We've got more right after this.
Hand off to Jones. Nice cutback. Aaron Jones for the touchdown. 7 points off the takeaway by Jair Alexander.
That's good blocking up front. Billy Turner, the right guard, you're going to see him reach, and then the center and the hole that's provided by Aaron Jones. It's just then one-on-one on the safety. Good vision by Aaron Jones, but a nice hole.
Aaron, was there a sense that as the week went on with Devontae out that you were going to have to be the playmaker?
No, not necessarily me. We just knew everybody had to step up across the board in every position. We didn't put it all on one guy that they had to step up.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Aaron Jones and obviously the play-by-play of one Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who I didn't have a problem with. People get all bent out of shape about him, but they got excited at the right time for either play. They got down on either play on either team. It doesn't bug me. Some people just get pissed off if they're calling a game. I don't know why, but I think they do a really good job. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I guess it is because there's a lot of people that just don't like their call for whatever. And then again, people in Dallas think Troy Aikman's biased against them, so maybe he's just doing things correctly if everybody thinks you hate him. Standing by down in Dallas, Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, yesterday you talked about Aaron Jones and the job that he did. You got into that discussion just a little bit here. Look, I thought he was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, and you know what a good kid this guy is.
Yep.
And also how I've told you, in years past, how when you really sit down and talk football with Aaron Jones, a running back, he sounds more like a running back coach or an offensive coordinator. He really breaks down the X's and O's. he recognizes things far better than most running backs I've ever talked to. But this was a great game for a kid who's from El Paso. He grew up a Cowboys fan, you know, and maybe he went into that game. I got the feeling he really did go into the game with just a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, you
like,
bet.
Okay, you just paid Zeke Elliott all this, and Zeke is a tremendous running back as well. But, you know, you guys overlooked me, and I was a kid with a dream, and I'm happy to be in Green Bay. But Aaron Jones was asked about what it meant to play in front of his family and get that win in his home state of Texas.
I don't know, I'm just back at home. All my family's up in the stands. I can see my brother right there. Like, I threw him one of the balls when I scored, so that was pretty cool. My brother and my cousin were right there. So, I don't know, just being back in Texas.
I heard he grew up a Cowboys fan. Does that make this more significant?
It definitely does. Being a Cowboy fan growing up, I mean, everything's about the star. So to be playing for the Packers, that's another great organization, even better organization. I'm so blessed to be here and come to Texas and get a W. I mean, I'm 2-0 here, so it's a great feeling.
Good feeling for him, absolutely, and rightfully so, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing too, Bill, is this team is coming together. That was a show that they put on. Now, of course, you know, Dak Prescott put on a show himself. He put up 300 yards in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
There are some breakdowns there. There's some guys going down with injuries. And maybe you could make the case that that Kellen Moore, their new young 30-year-old offensive coordinator, maybe learned a thing or two about what he should be doing, you know, where his best weapons are in the second half last night. But it was such a great storyline last week that out of nowhere, Ray Lewis, the former Ravens linebacker and Hall of Famer, was asked about the Packers defense. He goes, no, I don't really believe in them. I mean, they haven't had a leader since Clay Matthews left Green Bay. Well, you know, Za'Darius Smith is a former Raven. He didn't know if that was intended for him. Here he's been there 5 months, elected defensive team captain. I had the Blake Martinez and others. He's going out of his way. And Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens, Preston Smith from the Redskins, these guys, they like that Smith Brothers label. I've never seen this before in all the years of covering the team where two guys say, no, we're going to do the interview together. But they did it again last night at their locker, and they hung around for me, as a matter of fact, so I could talk to them and put them on the network here for your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them about what was your reaction, you know, you guys, to hear Ray Lewis challenging that there's no leaders on this Packers defense right now. And here's what Preston and Za'Darius Smith said at their lockers.
You know, at the end of the day, we was disrespected by somebody saying there was no leadership up front. And we're not going to say the name to make them more famous, but
You know what? I'm going to hit on that. Yeah. Just to have that comment come in, you know, what we did, I told the guys, I said, it's more than being a leader on this defense. You know, we all going to have to be leaders at some point. And to be able to do that, man, we focused on that the whole week. We actually printed out some papers and put them in a defensive room. So to have that motivation, man, it all worked out for us. And we're 4-1.
4-1.
4-1.
The amazing thing, Mike, is that the more you hear about what they're doing behind the scenes to keep this group together, you almost feel like there's something special here. The one big question is, now you had mentioned Za'Darius Smith cramping up. Was it cramps or was it that knee? Because as many times as he went down and they tended to be looking at the knee at times, man, I wonder how much he's going to be able to hold up throughout the season.
Yeah, I heard him say to somebody something about the knee. They thought the knee was worse than it was in the Eagles game. He felt a lot better with it a day or two after that. And if I don't remember, I don't think he was actually on the injury report late last week with that. But, yeah, didn't get a chance to get that far into it with what was bothering him during the game. But obviously he felt he could still keep on bringing it back to get into the game. But the thing is, Bill, is, you know, there's always something about they had that with Charles Woodson. There's some guys that need to step up and make this fun. And say, you know, when we get a win, when we do good things, when we create 3 quarterback sacks, when we get 3 interceptions, that, you know, against one of the better quarterbacks in the league like Dak, we're going to celebrate this. We're going to get some swagger. We're going to put a little fear into the next opponent's head when they come and deal with us. So you get Jaire Alexander, who's, you know, some of these were bad balls, or some of they bounced off like Amari Cooper's hand. He should have brought that ball in.
Mm-hmm.
Jaire gets a pick to get things started and change the momentum of the game. But the fact is that also means that these guys are in the right position. to make the plays, and they're not blowing it. And even though Kevin Kicks had a couple of balls go through his hands when it comes to picks. So Jair gets his pick, but then gets burned on that down out and down by Amari later on. I was surprised that he bit on that, and he took the out pattern rather than just stay back a little bit on Cooper. Maybe he thought he was going to get another pick out of it, and he got a little too fancy. But then you've got guys like Shandon Sullivan. This is what he was doing in camp all the time.
Right.
I mean, he was seemed to be around the football, and we talked about his interception in last night's game.
We was just in cover two, tried to disguise and give Dak a difficult look, and I was just able to bait him a little bit, and he threw it up, and I was able to make a play. So, you know, this hats off to all of us for disguising and making them think it was man coverage. So.
That's the amazing thing, Mike, is they did a lot of things that confused Dak Prescott, which, again, that's one of the signatures of a Mike Pettine offense, or Mike Pettine defense.
Yeah, and that's what these players talk about all the time, is disguise. And you see it all the time. You see them all, you'll see 10 guys on the line, and then they seem to be able to time it just to snap which linebackers. Hell, they have Kenny Clark drop back in coverage on some plays, you know, where he's keeping an eye on a back out of the backfield or a tight end. And that makes it, you know, that drives a quarterback nuts and him trying to figure out, well, who's going to get the football. And then you've got guys stepping up through injury. Kevin King, we know that he's only been in like 18 games and is going on his third year. And he left the Eagles game with a groin injury. By Friday morning, he was doubtful. By Saturday afternoon, the Packers made a kind of unusual posting where they upgraded him to questionable. And there he's out there with the groin and making the pick. And I think, you know, that's another one of these things like Rodgers was talking about. These guys are hurt, but they're playing, and they're still playing well out there. And Kevin King talked about he thought that they learned a lot when they lost a very physical game to the Eagles at home last Thursday night.
I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We always like to take it 1 week at a time, you know, but, you know, that loss kind of showed us, you know, it kind of showed us not to just, like, rely on outside noise, you know, and it's kind of, sometimes, you know, it can be a blessing in disguise, you know, because we can't ride waves, you know what I'm saying? We can't ride waves and ride highs, you know what I'm saying? And we winning. And everything's all good. You know what I'm saying? We can't, because it showed us that right, you know what I'm saying? Right when we had one game that was a little different, you know, the conversation was a little different. It was a lot different, you know? So that really just showed us we got to keep everything in-house, you know, just trust what we're doing, trust what we got going, and take it 1 week at a time.
Hey, Mike, you got one more segment in you?
You bet.
Hang in there. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up with the Cowboys side of things when we come back. Mike Clemens broadcasting down there live in Dallas. I'm Bill Michaels. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget Thursday night, the Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road. We're going to be at Moe's Irish Pub in Wauwatosa. Hope to see you out. There's a face in the crowd. 6 to 8 this Thursday night. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We wrap it up, continuing with this victory Monday as the Packers going to win 34-24 over the Dallas Cowboys. We've got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yard try by Mason Crosby. He has some good memories in this stadium. And he adds to them as he makes it a 17-point game.
Welcome back. The call. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. As the Green Bay Packers get the win yesterday and knocking off the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, joining us from Dallas, Mike Clemens, our guy from NFL Sirius Radio, and my partner, as we get ready here in a few months, Michael, to head down to sunny Miami to start covering the Super Bowl as well. Hopefully the Green Bay Packers sustain and they can end up getting there. But yesterday it was Jason Garrett just kind of blowing his stack a little bit.
You know, and Bill, for me, I'm sure it looked like just another football game on TV. But some of these games that I'm, you know, that we're covering in person, there's just something, it's disjointed. It just, the game seemed to be a little out of rhythm. And it's taken away from the players and the quarterbacks and the coaches. And at the end of the day, it's the damn penalties. It's the pass interference calls. It's the offensive pass interference calls. It's the ticky-tacky holding calls that they've got on offensive linemen or defensive linemen getting their finger caught in a guy's jersey. And it's holding up the games. And then, for me, the Anthony Brown pass interference, I think it was on MVS, where the ball hit him in his back, you know? I just thought, maybe that's the way the current rules are written, but they're wrong. I mean, the guy, he's not on the receiver, but he's between the ball and the receiver. The ball hits him in the back, and they're throwing an interference call on that. And Jason Garrett is as calm and steady. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too angry. He doesn't laugh much. He never gets too low. But he keeps it steady all the time. So here's a guy that gets so frustrated after, first of all, they miss that call. Then they don't catch that Amari Cooper's feet were inbounds on a reception. So he's throwing his last challenge flag. And this ref comes up to him and said, you know, must have said something like, really, you're going to challenge again? And then Jason Garrett had lost it. And so he said something to him, you know, probably an F-bomb or something. And then they threw another flag at him for abusive language for the referee. And Garrett talked about that situation after the game.
Again, it was just a big play in the game. I knew we had used the flag once, and I knew we were going to have to use it again to correct their error. And when you do that, and the first one doesn't get overturned, you're out of challenges. And so I knew that was the situation. But we had to use it in that particular situation to correct the mistake that they made. And, so didn't handle it well. Our team handled it really well, though. I don't know if you saw the rest of the game after that. We completed a 26-yarder on the next play and went right down and scored. So our team did a really good job handling that adversity.
How did, by the way, Michael, how did J.J., Jerry Jones, handle the loss yesterday?
Well, he talked about that. I think can we play a clip from Zeke Elliott? He talked about it as well. Zeke Elliott, who for second week in a row got to be frustrated, 37 yards only against the Saints, 62 yards against the Packers. And he was asked, you know, how this is affecting the locker room.
I mean, I'm never going to be the guy to go out there and be like, hey, we lost because of the refs. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to look in the mirror as a team and realize that we shot ourselves in the foot too many times. It wasn't the refs. I mean, they weren't perfect. I mean, they weren't great, but I mean, we got to look in the mirror and see that there was a lot of things that we could have done to win that ball game, not just look to blame the refs.
So Jerry Jones talked to the media. He always does after these games, and he said, you know, obviously the turnovers killed them, and but he, you know, liked the spirit of his team, and they, you know, they weren't looking at the scoreboard. They just kept fighting, and so he's always selling his product. He's always selling the product on the field. But he was asked by a female reporter about his coach getting called with that abusive language call.
Did you make any unsportsmanlike conduct flag on Jason Garrett?
What?
The unsportsmanlike conduct flag. What did you make of that?
Well, I think the same guy didn't bother me with much as that as he did not calling that interference call on our receiver across the middle. To me, that's his call, too. So I don't know what the world to make of all that.
So then, Bill, The league made Ron Torbert, the head referee, go talk to one pool reporter, one representative, to say what exactly happened. I mean, what did Jason Garrett do to get, you know, that personal thing going between him and Scott Edwards, the side judge? And Torbert said it was for abusive language toward an official. The official felt threatened by the comments of Jason Garrett. And so that's why he threw a penalty flag at the head coach of the Cowboys. Now, Todd Archer is a great reporter down here, covers the Cowboys. And he said he told Jerry explain to Jerry that's what it was. That obviously Jason Garrett, you know, used some bad words to that Scott Edwards. And Jerry then told Todd Archer, which he's quoting today on the internet, he says, Jones said, oh, I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before. We should all stop the wheel over if he got a penalty for abusive language.
Yeah. Right.
So that's lighting up the internet today.
Did you happen to read the lips? I don't know if you watched any of the game, read the lips of John Gruden on a couple of plays that were called against his team over in London yesterday?
No, I watched some Hard Knocks.
I think he was counting F-bombs as he was talking to them. So I could F-bomb one, F-bomb two. That's what he was doing. He was just counting the F-bombs. So if abusive language is now flaggable, look the hell out.
Well, and I'll tell you what, though. I mean, obviously these longtime football guys, any of these football guys, yeah, you got Tom Brady tweeting out during a game, just let them play.
Right.
Just let them play. It's too ticky-tacky. and it's beyond player safety. It really, they're not saving any lives out there. You know, just let them play football.
Yeah. Mike, good stuff, buddy. Get back safe, and then I will see you when you get back here, okay?
All right,
pal.
When you get home.
Talk to you later. There you go. Mike Clemens joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You work hard, and they treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long time. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Do got to update you. You've got the Tampa Bay Rays right now, 5-1 over the Astros, and that game is right now in the bottom of the fourth inning, and the Astros lead that series 2-0, so the Rays trying to stave off elimination there. You've got the Braves and the Cardinals coming up here in just a little bit, and Atlanta leads that series 2-1. Dakota Hudson goes to the hill against Acuna. Later on this afternoon. Then you got the Dodgers and the Nationals coming up tonight, and the Dodgers leads that series 2-1 as well. Hill on the hill for the Dodgers. Scherzer goes to the hill for the Nationals. And then the late game tonight, the Yankees and the Twins. And the Yankees lead that series 2-0 as the Yankees trying to kind of close things out as well. So you do have some baseball being played tonight. You got Monday Night Football. Going to be watching this one. San Francisco undefeated. See what they do with the Cleveland Browns coming to town. That's going to be later tonight as well. Full night of sports. We'll talk a lot about it coming up tomorrow. Been a good Packers. Glorious Monday as the Packers go to 4-1, knocking off the Dallas Cowboys 34-24. We've been talking about it. We'll continue to talk about it, getting you ready for the Monday night contest against the Detroit Lions. That is coming up a week from tonight as well. Time for us to go. Have a go.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.